embarking on today, but I believe you guys are fortunate to be part of a pilot, I'll say, a pilot program where we have the privilege of having Ms. Amy Edelstein with us, and Amy teaches mindfulness to adults and young people throughout the area, and actually globally. Recently, she has worked with the staff at Philly Magazine. Okay, the things that you're going to be discussing and the stuff of this course will hopefully enable you to kind of enrich your toolbox of skills for your life to help you with focusing, dealing with stress, you know, managing all of the things that we have to manage in our life. And hopefully you will gain tools and strategies for yourself during your time between now and the Friday before Christmas break. Okay, so just relax. Okay, don't worry, you're not going to get a grade. This is really something that you're doing for you to enhance you and your life. Okay, and that's all. So I really hope that you have a great experience, and please, you know, be respectful of yourself and of each other to get the to allow everyone to have their own experience. Okay, and of course, give your best attention to our guest, Ms. Amy Edelstein. Okay, so.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. So this is going to be fun and it's going to be hard. I wanted to find out how many of you have ever tried any kind of meditation? That's a lot. Where did you do it? Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Was it hard?
A little bit.
Okay. Who else was? Yeah.
My martial arts classes. Mm-hmm. My meditation.
How do you find it?
You have to be extremely disciplined.
Uh-huh. Is it hard to stay with your mind? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you?
We did it for SAT prep.
Okay. Did it help?
Yes.
How did it help?
We did it, normally before we took, pre-test, we would meditate, and it would, clear my mind so that when I took the test, I would feel more comfort and easy, and the test seemed easier.
Interesting. And how many people really don't want to try meditation? It's okay if you don't. We're going to do it anyway, but people who... why not?
Because it seems it seems harder than what it is. You just sit there and be relaxed, but it seems like you really got to think about relaxing.
That's one of the biggest challenges of meditation. Who else doesn't want to meditate? Yeah. You just don't. I just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I felt that way. And you. What's that?
I don't see the point.
You don't see the point. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Yes. Right. Hard to sit still. Definitely hard to sit still. Good. All right. So, I started meditating when I was about your age. I learned about it in a book. And then I went to India, and I went trekking in the Himalayas in the mountains for a year, and I was there for about 4 years. And I studied with the Dalai Lama, I studied with a lot of different teachers, and I did a lot of interesting and challenging things. I did 3-month silent meditation retreats where you don't talk for 3 months, except every 4 or 5 days you have about a 10-minute interaction with the teacher. The rest of the time you're just meditating 16 hours a day, walking and sitting and walking and sitting. So I've experienced a lot of boredom, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration. I didn't really like meditating for many years, but I did it anyway. And I knew that it was basically good, and I had a lot of pretty interesting experiences, and it showed me a lot about the nature of mind, which we have 10 weeks, so we're going to learn about thought, we're going to learn about mind, we're going to learn about consciousness, we're going to learn about awareness, and those are all different things. And when we learn about thought and the mind, we actually create distance between ourselves and our thoughts, so our thoughts don't own us. When I really figured out experientially what the value of meditation was about 4 years ago. And I was driving back from New York City. I lived in the country of Massachusetts. And it was on a back country road. It was rainy. It was about 6 o'clock. When everything's kind of gray, you can't really see that much. And it was a narrow, winding road. And somehow, which I don't exactly remember, he hit me, an 18-wheel tractor trailer head-on. So I don't remember that at all, but when I woke up, I was completely crushed. The car was completely crushed into me. I just was like twisted that way. There was blood everywhere. There was glass in my mouth. I couldn't really see. I had no idea what happened. And it was the most frightening, painful thing I could imagine. I'd never wish that on anyone. And I had no idea how badly hurt I was. I thought, I couldn't tell if my legs were still there. I couldn't tell if my back was broken. And I didn't know if I was going to make it out of that alive or not. It was one of those moments where it was an odd thing because I was aware of what was happening, and I was terrified, and I was in incredible pain. So after about I don't know 20 minutes, there were something like 30 people around trying to get me out of the car. And they couldn't extricate me from the car, and they didn't know how much time they had because they didn't know how badly hurt I was. And at a certain point, I was in so much pain. Every time they moved the car, everything would hurt even more because the steering wheel was here. I couldn't feel my legs, but it turned out the driving shaft was broken and it was stuck. It was pinned inside my leg. But at the time, I just thought maybe my legs aren't there because I'd just seen a 60 Minutes video where episode where they talk about phantom limbs, that people have amputations that actually feel their limbs. So I didn't know. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't tell. And I was moving between fear and panic and clarity about what was happening. And all these people were trying to help me. They were all around. They were trying to help me. And at one point, they were shaking the car because they were starting to cut the metal out with one of those big equipment. I screamed. I screamed really loud. And this EMT looked at me and he said, "Honey, you're going to have to be quiet if we're going to get you out of here." And I was like, he just kind of yelled at me. And it was only because I had done so much meditation practice that realize that I had a choice at that moment. That I was either going to let go, because my thoughts were like swimming, and I was looking around, and I was just consumed with fear, and I just wanted to let go in panic. I'm sure that you've probably experienced a moment where you were so frightened you just wanted to freak out. Or you were so angry you just wanted to get angry, right? Has that ever happened? I'm sure. You know, you're either frightened, you're either really mad at somebody, you just let go, you erupt. And at that moment, I had a choice of whether just to let go, panic, and... or I could just decide to be present. And it was going to be my choice, and I thought, if this is going to be the end, if I'm not going to live, then I would rather have it be the end, being conscious and being together with everyone around me, than lost in isolation and fear and panic. And so I didn't freak out. That's when I realized why 30 years of meditation practice is worth it. So I've never felt sorry for myself since. They thought I wasn't going to walk. I had a lot of surgeries, a lot of pins and plates. The surgeon said that I was probably not going to walk again. If they fused my leg, they might have to replace my leg. I'm okay now. And part of that is because when you're able to create enough space between you and your emotions, and you and objectively frightening or overwhelming or infuriating circumstance, you have a choice about how you're going to proceed. The situation may be horrible. It's not going to get any better. You might be in a bad situation. Things around you might be terrible. You might be frightened. But if you start to learn how to relate to your mind and relate to your thoughts, you're going to have a measure of stability and inner strength that's very unusual. So we're going to do mindfulness here. We're going to go through the challenge of sitting still. We're going to go through the sense that you can't get away from your mind, that you're trapped, that everything is closing in. You don't want to see what's there. You don't want to know. You don't want to settle down. You can't sit still. We're going to go through all of that together. And the reason why is because we want to cultivate inner strength. So that's really why we practice. And believe it or not, I think a short amount of time, you know, in 10 weeks we're going to get somewhere for sure. I have no doubt about it. And I've done enough and I've taught enough that I have no doubt we're going to, where we are now and where you're going to be in 10 weeks is going to be totally different. But if you really want to develop that kind of, you know, inner strength, it's not going to come just from 5 minutes a day or an hour a week. So like you said, it's hard, it's discipline. You have to push yourself through challenges. And you may want to do that, you don't necessarily need to. But I think this is going to be really revealing, and it's going to help you also understand who you are as a person, so you're not suffering at the whim of all the information and pressure and stress and everybody else's demands around you, because you want to be your own person. So to start with, you all have a piece of paper. I want you to write down 5 or 10 things that make you happy. Just really quick, 5 or 10. Nobody's going to see these but you. You're just going to keep these. You're not going to hand them in. Okay, that's good enough for now. And now I want you to do 5 or 10 things that make you tense, stressed, upset, feeling bad, nervous. I'm not going to ask you what you wrote, but I want to hear from a few people which was easier to come up with your list. Yeah. What makes you angry and tense? Yes. What makes you happy was easier.
Uh-huh. Happy.
Happy. Yeah.
Angry.
Angry. No. Yes. Angry. So. I just want to get a sense of the room. So how many people found it easier to do list the things that make you happy? And the one easier, the things that make you angry? A little less. Interesting. That's interesting. That's kind of good.
Is that opposite of what usually happens? Or?
It's different in different, but yeah, it's different. Good. So what I want you to do is keep all the lists and notes that we take in this class. They're just for you. Like I said, we're not going to read them, but we are going to revisit them. So we're going to do this list again halfway through and at the end. And then we're going to go back and we're going to see if the experience of making the list changed and if your feelings around both lists changed. So just quickly, just write down, just for a note to yourself, which one was easier for you to do, which came more quickly. And then keep those and we'll revisit them later. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to tell you a little bit about what mindfulness is and where it comes from, and then we're going to practice. So there are a lot of different ways to do mindfulness. Mindfulness is a generic term which describes focused attention. Mindfulness practice comes from about 2,300 years ago in the time of the Buddha. And he was a prince. He was really wealthy. He was protected from seeing old age and sickness and death. And at one point, he kind of snuck out of the palace and he saw somebody who was sick. He saw somebody who was getting old. And he saw somebody who was dead. And he said, oh my goodness, that's how the world works. I need to find a way out of suffering because obviously my wealth and privilege and power isn't enough. And that's when he started doing all these different practices. And he did these really extreme practices. He stopped eating. So sometimes you see these Buddha statues where there's just like a skeleton. He was just skin and bones. And he perfected that practice and he realized that wasn't getting him anywhere either. He was just getting proud of that he was, so strong. But he wasn't getting anywhere in relationship to his mind. The mindfulness practice is a practice that he started doing before the myth goes, he sat down under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, North India. It's kind of a dusty town. It's dirty and small and poor and has the place where the Bodhi tree is a beautiful place. But he sat down there and then he says, the myth goes, he woke up. And what did he wake up to? He woke up to the nature of the mind and the nature of reality in a very profound way. But the practice that helped him get there most was mindfulness meditation. And there are pages and pages and pages of stories from the Buddha where he said, I went into the jungle and I went walking and I was mindful of lifting my foot and putting it down and lifting my other foot and putting it down. I was mindful of the breath going in and the breath going out. It is the most boring spiritual literature you can possibly read. And it goes on. All he did was look at mindfulness moving in and moving out. Breath going in, breath going out. Foot raising, foot lowering. But it's a very powerful practice. So mindfulness now has been brought into this country, particularly by someone named Jon Kabat-Zinn. And he started teaching it at UMass Hospital. And he started using it for stress reduction. And he started using it for heart disease. And now we have mindfulness in prisons, we have mindfulness in schools, we have mindfulness in boardrooms. So that's basically, in a nutshell, 2,000 years of history of mindfulness meditation. So what we're going to do is we are going to practice a little, bless you, we're going to practice... So what I'm going to have you do, this is just like a really simple mindfulness exercise. So I want you to sit up. It's important that when you're practicing mindfulness and your spine is straight and your legs are uncrossed and your feet are just, on the floor, it really does help the brain focus when your posture is better. You want to be somewhat relaxed. So you don't want to clench up, it's okay. But you want to feel that there's a channel, like your head is straight, it's balanced on top of your neck, and And what I want you to do is I want you to, when we start, I'm going to have you close your eyes. And I'm going to ring this bell, which is, these are Tibetan bells. And I want you to just put your attention on the sound, on the quality of the sound, the length of the sound, the variation of the sound. So don't think about anything else, but I want you to just put your attention on the sound. And this is going to be the beginning of a mindfulness practice of learning how to just focus. So you can close your eyes. I'm going to do it again, and I want you to raise your hand when you can't hear the sound anymore. Great, let's try it again. Do it one more time. Now, what do you notice about the quality in the room? What's the quality of the room now? How does it feel?
Hot.
Hot, yeah, it is hot. Do you feel how much more still it is all of a sudden? Do you feel like there was a lot of restlessness? Do you feel like, so we just did that, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 times? Do you feel how settled it is all of a sudden? Everyone's still. You also feel like instead of being sort of whatever we are, 35 people here, you felt all these individual, all the different energies, everyone's got their own story, everybody's worried about their own thing. All of a sudden, there's a sense of awareness, a sense of attention, and a sense of focus. So these are the kinds of things that are fascinating. You just start thinking about it. Why is that? All we did was put our attention on something. The quality of mindfulness is relaxed and open. Because if you just like try to listen like that, you actually can't hear. So you have to relax and open your ears and open your inner eyes of, and ears of perception and pay attention. But what you're paying attention to is something you can't really see. And so as you start to pay attention, what comes to the forefront in our experience is this quality of awareness, paying attention, mindfulness. And the effect of mindfulness is immediate stillness, unity, awareness, and strength. So when you get more centered, you get stronger. When you're more relaxed, you get stronger. It's an interesting thing. Any martial arts will tell you that the way to work in very difficult moves and very difficult fights is to relax. Because you're able to listen. It's almost like you can listen 360. You can listen all the way around. So let's just try it one more time, and then we're going to... Actually, it's did 3 times total. Similar, but it's a little harder. And what happens is when you have to focus on something just inside you, your thoughts, it's easier to focus on a sound because it puts your attention, your mental attention on something that makes noise. Our thoughts make noise for us. So part of the challenge of mindfulness practice is to learn about the thoughts that are just passing across our minds. Our minds are like machines. They're just mechanical. They just generate thought. They will generate any kind of thought, and it's going to be useful, irrelevant. It's going to be, you know, we all have our different patterns. Some people think they're great. They always have these thoughts going through their mind about how fantastic they are. Some people have negative thoughts that they're always terrible and they go through all their faults. It doesn't really matter the content of thought. It's just mechanical. Obviously, we want to use our minds, and we're learning. You're all in school. You have aspirations. I'm constantly studying and writing and researching and learning. We use our minds. But a lot of what the mind does is not particularly useful. And it's just going to do that. It's just going to obsess about whatever it does. And it doesn't really matter. So mindfulness is going to show us, can be kind of a rude awakening when you start seeing that when you're meditating, your thought process is going and it's not particularly sophisticated. So it's a little, you know, you just start to see, oh, I'm not really a very, my mind is not very complicated. But we can be deep and complex and sophisticated people. But we're going to start to learn that the more you practice mindfulness, you start to learn that. But right now, we're just learning to focus. So sit with your... We're going to meditate, I think, for about 5 minutes. And we have till 10:02, right? Okay. So we'll meditate for 5 minutes. And maybe I'll ring the bell to end it, but I'll talk you through it. So again, sit with your back erect and your feet on the floor. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the breath going in and the breath going out. So you can close your eyes. And as you close your eyes, experience on the surface, there's surface level tension. You may be thinking about other things. You may be in the background agitated by something. You can just be aware of that. It's fine. It's not an obstacle. But allow yourself to get a little bit centered inside. It's almost like you sit back into yourself. let your eyes relax, and let the tension come out of your face and your neck. Now, on your next inhalation, just see if you can locate the point where the breath goes into your nostrils and down the back of your throat, and then the point where you exhale. It's a subtle feeling. We're not usually aware of that sensation. But pay attention to where the breath goes in. See if you can feel it. See what temperature the air is going in and what temperature the air is going out. Relax your attention. Let everything you're thinking about just be there in the background. But put your attention on the breath going in and the breath going out. When you find yourself thinking about other things, just bring your attention back. See how many different sensations and qualities you can notice about the breath going in and the breath coming out. Follow your breath into your torso. You may feel the rise and fall in your chest or in your abdomen. Gently bring your attention back. Sounds are there, movement is there, the world's outside. Just let it be there. Be still. Keep bringing your attention back. So what did you notice?
One mic.
There's always a song playing in your head. You never noticed that before, right? Interesting. Yeah. Did you ever feel that before? Yes. Yeah.
Almost like something that was written wrong, but I thought it was real funny. I don't want to know what we were doing. Like, I caught myself, I was leaning like down. So I was like, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to sleep.
You know what? You know what I'm going to do? We have a few minutes, so kind of this group of people, you guys can just talk together, and that group of people, and that group of people. I just want you to talk for like 2 minutes about what happened. Our end of discussion. Interesting, huh? That was 5 minutes. What was that? It felt like 2 minutes. How many people have felt like about 3 hours?
The conversation
level? No, the meditation.
Oh, the meditation.
It was long.
How long was the meditation?
5 minutes. Great. So, what I wanted to do. I want you to take this the last 2 minutes and just write down anything, you know, any notes about today, what you liked, what you didn't like, what was surprising. We're going to be keeping a log of this journey. We have 10 weeks. Something you didn't know about the mind, something you just discovered, something that was weird, something you didn't like, something you liked. If you want to, during the week before next week, try this. You can put put a little timer on, because it's good to decide. I'm going to try to meditate for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, and just put a timer on, so you're not always checking. You know, you don't have been 2 minutes yet, and see what happens. You can do it before you go to sleep. It's a good thing to know. You keep those. Bring your folders back next week. You can keep the pens, yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend.